Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We will read the whole chapter. Do we begin again to command ourselves, or do we need as some commendatory letters to you or commendatory from you? Ye are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being manifested to be Christ's epistle, ministered by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tables, but on fleshy tables of the heart. And such confidence have we through the Christ towards God. And that we are, not that we are competent of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our competency is of God, who has also made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit quickens. But if the ministry of death in letters, graven in stones, began with glory, so that the children of Israel could not fix their eyes on the face of Moses, on account of the glory of his face, a glory which is annulled. How shall rather the ministry of the Spirit subsist in glory? For if the ministry of condemnation be glory, much rather the ministry of righteousness abounds in glory. For also that which was glorified is not glorified in this respect, on account of the surpassing glory. For if that annulled was introduced with glory, much rather that which abides subsists in glory. Having therefore such hope, we use much boldness, and not according as Moses put a veil on his own face, so that the children of Israel should not fix their eyes on the end of that annulled. But their thoughts have been darkened, for unto this day the same veil remains in reading the old covenant, unremoved, which in Christ is annulled. But unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies upon their heart. But when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, looking on the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, are transformed according to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we continue in thy presence, we do praise and thank thee what thou hast done on Calvary's cross. We just come and say, Lord, open our hearts, our understanding, and bring us into all that thou hast accomplished there. We look to thee, to thy Spirit, to illumine us and to bring us into the reality of what all that I have done and what thou art. We offer ourselves afresh to thee and say, Lord, have thy own way. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. I hope we still remember what we have shared last Lord's Day. We are saved to serve. We are not saved just that we may enjoy ourselves. We are saved with a purpose. And this purpose is a glorious purpose. It is the purpose that our God has purpose in himself, even before the foundation of the world. And what is that purpose? Or what is the work that God has been doing throughout the centuries? What is the work that our Lord Jesus did while he was on earth? And what is the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in and among us? To put it very simply, God's work is one. No matter how many works he has done, it is all centered upon one thing. And that is what our Lord Jesus has revealed to us. He said, you are Peter. You are one who have been transformed. You are not just a man of dust. You are now a precious stone. You have now my life. And I will build my church upon this rock. And Hades' gates shall not prevail against it. So, dear brothers and sisters, thank God he has saved us. Thank God we have his life in us. And it is what the Lord wants, that we may live no longer by our self-fallen life. But every day we live by the life of Christ in us. As the apostle testified, for me to live is Christ. Brothers and sisters, we emphasize again and again, there is only one living that is worth to live. And it is, for me to live is Christ. To put it another way, if I try to live a Christian life by myself, by my own goodness, by my own effort, it will not be counted before God. At the judgment seat of Christ, it will be burned up. Only the life that is lived by Christ. Only when Christ lives out in and through us. That is Christian life. That is Christian living. That is the only living that is acceptable to God. And in the same principle, we are saved to serve. But it's not that whatever we do is accepted by God. Because our Lord Jesus said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I preach in your name. I cast out devils, demons in your name. I perform miracles in your name. But the Lord Jesus said, I do not approve of you. You are wicked. Brothers and sisters, there is a standard. that God has set for us. Whether we live or whether we serve, it must be Christ and not ourselves. So I hope that this principle is understood and also, by the grace of God, kept by us. Now this morning we would like to see that in service or in ministry. Now everybody serves. We may serve in different areas, in many different ways, but it is all serving the purpose of God. But when we are serving, just like when we are living, there are two different kinds of ministry or service. We can serve according to the old covenant, or we can serve according to the new covenant. So this is what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now Paul mentioned at the beginning, he said, do we need any commendatory letters? Now we know that in the early days, because Christians were scattered all over, they did not know each other. So when a brother or a sister was traveling to another place, they will be given a commendatory letter, saying that this is a brother or a sister in the Lord. And hopefully they will be received by the Christians in other places. So whenever a person travels, he will ask the church to give him or her a commendatory letter. And so Paul said, do I need such a letter to you? So far as Paul was concerned, there is no need for him to have a commendatory letter to the Corinthian believers, because he was the one whom the Lord used to bring them to the Lord. So here you find ministry or service, in principle, is like writing letters. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find that ministry is like building the house. But here you find Paul said, ministry or service, when we are serving the Lord in various different ways, it is like writing letters. And this letter is written in our hearts. Now here you find Apostle Paul said, I'm writing letters when I minister to you. But this letter is written in my heart, to be read by all people, so they know what I have written. Strictly speaking, ministry or service is writing Christ's epistle. It's writing the letter of Christ. So whenever you serve, you are writing the letter of Christ, to be read by all people. It is a serious thing. But there are two ways of writing that letter. And because there are two ways of writing it, the result will be two different kinds of letter. Whether you are writing the letter of Christ or you are writing your own letter. And it is to be read by all people. Cannot be hidden. So here you find in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that there are two kinds of letters written. There are two different ways of ministry. One he calls Old Testament ministry, and the other he calls the New Testament ministry. So this morning we want to share together on what are the characteristics of these two different kinds of ministries. In verse 3, he says, being manifested to be Christ's epistle, ministered by us, written. Now, how do you write it? With what kind of instrument are you writing it? He said, not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God. In other words, the first difference is you can either write with ink or you can write with the Spirit of God. Now, what do you mean to write with ink? Whenever you think of ink, probably you will be thinking of a scribe. He has an inkstand with him, and he is writing with ink. To put it in a spiritual way, when you are writing in ink, that is your instrument. And what does it mean? It means the work of a scholar. You study. You consult many concordances. You use your mind. You try to reason things out. You try to get a conclusion, an understanding. And after that, you pass it on to other people. That is by ink. Or you can write with the Spirit of God. In other words, it is not by your own searching or research. It is by the Spirit of God. When you are studying the Word of God, the Spirit of God gives you wisdom and understanding. He reveals it to you. He speaks to your spirit. And He works in you until out of the work of the Spirit comes ministry. So this is a different kind of ministry. As a matter of fact, everybody begins with writing in ink. For instance, in the Old Testament, I think Moses is a very good example. When he was fed by his mother, somehow his mother gave to him the impression that he was miraculously saved with a purpose. And that is the purpose to save the children of Israel. So when Moses grew up in the palace in Egypt, he learned all the learnings. He was mighty in words and in deeds. We were told in secular history he was a mighty general. And when he was 40, he realized that he has a divine mission. He was supposed to save his people. So he went out and tried to save his people. By all that he has learned, he was mighty in words and he was mighty in deeds. So here you find he went out, he saw an Egyptian fighting, beating a Hebrew. So he looked around and see there was nobody else there. And he was mighty in work. So he beat the Egyptian to death. And he buried him under the sand. Then the next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews were fighting with each other. So he was mighty in eloquence. So he tried to separate them and said, "You shouldn't hurt one another." He thought they understood, but they don't. He was pushed away and said, "You want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So the news was out and he had to flee for life. Brothers and sisters, this is written in ink. In other words, what he had learned, he had researched, he had gathered, he used it. And he used it with good intention. Not for himself, it is for serving God. But brothers and sisters, thank God. God allowed him to fail. Now if he succeeds, then what will happen? But thank God. After he left Egypt, he was in the wilderness for 40 years. And there, in these 40 years, he learned everything he had learned. Unlearned everything he had learned in Egypt. So when God called him when he was 80 years old, he said, "Who am I? I'm nobody. What can I do? I cannot even speak." Now it is true, when you speak to the sheep for 40 years, you lose your eloquence. Now that's Moses. And if you want to go to the New Testament, another example, Saul. Saul of Tarsus. A young man, brilliant. Different from other young men. Even in his youth, he wanted God. He wanted eternal things. He despised the world, as it were. And he sought to know God, to know his law. He studied the law. He became a Pharisee. A Pharisee of Pharisees. Zealous for the Lord. And he thought he was serving God by persecuting the Christians. He was sincere. But he was in darkness. He thought he was serving God. Actually, he did God a great disservice. Until finally, on the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him and called him. And this Saul, the Pharisee, now became Paul, the apostle. He served no longer by his own strength. He served now by the Spirit of God. So, brothers and sisters, when we review ourselves, in the beginning, in our service, it is mainly writing letters with ink. That's what I find myself. Even before I was saved, I preach. But I preach other sermon. Joel's sermon. Not my message. I try to serve God the best I can. Zealous. But it's according to my way. I think this is what God wants to. This is what I like to do for Him. Everything is self-centered. Brothers and sisters, this is the way we begin our service. But we cannot continue in this way all our life. If we do, then all our life service is in vain. We have to learn how to serve with the Spirit of God. Not out of ourselves, but out of God Himself. That is the only service that is acceptable to God. Have we come to this conclusion? And then you find the second characteristic. On what are you writing? You can write on stones, or you can write on the fleshy heart. We remember when God gave the Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant, it was written on stones. It was there, but it was outside of human beings. It was something you can read, you can memorize, you can understand, but there is no feeling, no sensation, no life experience. Brothers and sisters, and strangely you find the stone here. Does not refer to Paul's heart anymore. He refers to the heart of the Corinthians. It was written as if on stone. No feeling, no sensation, no reaction, no change. Hard, cold, something outside of you. It didn't reach into the very heart of man. It didn't reach you, the spirit. Everything is just surface. Nothing deep. Nothing true, nothing living. That is the second difference. If we minister with old covenant ministry, you are writing on stones. No effect. But if you're ministering with the living Spirit of God, then it should touch the heart of man and will bring forth change, transformation. That is the second difference. And the third difference is, you find in verse 4, and such confidence have we through the Christ who is God, not that we are competent of ourselves to think of ourselves as of ourselves, but our competency is of God. When you are serving with yourself, You are confident. You feel yourself competent to do that. You even proud yourself of it. See what I can do. But if you are really serving in the Spirit of God, you always have a sense it is beyond you. You are not competent at all. If there is any confidence, it has to come from God Himself. Brothers and sisters, when you are serving, do you feel confident of yourself? If you do, you are doing old covenant ministry. No one who is really serving the Lord feels himself or herself as competent. We know our weakness. We cannot, but He can. That is our feeling. And then number four, he said, if he's in verse 6, as ministers of the new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit quickens. In other words, when we are serving with old covenant service, it is a ministry of letter. And the letter kills. Only the spirit quickens. Now, why is it the letter kills? Because nobody can keep the letter. But the spirit quickens. The Spirit will enable us to see that even we cannot keep it, He has kept it. And then you find again, he said, one is the ministry of condemnation, of death, and the other is the ministry of righteousness. Now why? Because when we are giving people law, it condemns people. You know, law condemns. Law reveals that we cannot do it. Cannot keep it. It is a ministry of death. It brings people into condemnation. But only when we are ministering in the Spirit of God, then it is a ministry of righteousness, because it brings the righteousness of God to us. And finally, you find that even the ministry of the old covenant begins with glory. Why? Because it comes from God. Moses, after he was with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, the second time, he came down with his face aglow. The children of Israel dare not to look at his face. So he had to put a veil upon his face. Only when he go into the tent of meeting, he took the veil away. Gradually, that glory faded. But the ministry of the new covenant is from glory to glory. It brings God into us more and more. So, brothers and sisters, you find that even in service, not because we are serving, we think that is acceptable to God. On the one hand, he encourages to serve. On the other hand, he only accepts one kind of service, and that is New Covenant ministry. So I think, brothers and sisters, this is a very serious question. We need to be before the Lord and ask the Lord to show us whether we are serving according to the Old Covenant ministry or we are serving according to the New Covenant ministry. But here you find the Apostle Paul said in verse 12, "Having, therefore, such hope, we use much boldness." In other words, probably when we hear such thing, we say, "Man, wow, that's too high. It's beyond us. It cannot be that we are able to do that." No, that is not the reason why the difference is revealed to us. God revealed this to us to give us hope. In other words, He is expecting us to gradually come out of the Old Covenant ministry and enter into the New Covenant ministry. It's a hope before us. And if there is hope, then we should not faint, but we should have much boldness. In other words, we should see that if God has meant it and God has provided it, why do we not have it? You should go in this direction instead of falling back and said, "It's beyond us." So what should we do? We should turn ourselves to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, isn't that an irony? That we think if we want to serve God, we have to turn to ourselves. True, we need to diligently search the Word of God. We need to use every effort to know Him, to know His character. But it doesn't depend upon ourselves. The most important thing is we turn to the Lord. Do not turn to yourself. Make a double effort. That's useless. Turn to the Lord. And if we turn to the Lord, the veil will drop from our face. The more we draw near to the Lord, the more we turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. You have to do it in me. You have to reveal to me. You have to change me. You have to conform me to your image. And as you really go to Him, turn to Him with unveiled face, all the veils be taken away. And what is veil? You remember, between the holy place and the holiest of all, there was a veil. And a very heavy veil. And this veil separates the holy from the holiest. You cannot see through it. In other words, the way to the holiest of all has not been opened. Only the high priest once a year with sacrifice can enter into the holiest of all. No one can live in God's presence. But thank God, when our Lord Jesus was crucified on Calvary's cross, outside the city of Jerusalem, one marvelous thing happened. When our Lord cried out, it is finished. The work is done. And He gave up His spirit. The heavy veil in the temple in Jerusalem was broken from top to bottom into two. It was not a man's work. It was God's work. In other words, the way to the holiest of all is open now. The veil has to be broken. So in Hebrews chapter 10, we are told that it is not only through the blood of our Lord Jesus that we can enter into the very presence of God. It is also because He has opened for us a new and living way. Through the veil, which is His flesh. So in other words, when our Lord Jesus, when His flesh was broken on Calvary's cross, the veil was open. You know, how the flesh of our Lord Jesus is like a veil. The veil has two sides. On the one side, it faced the holiest of all. On the other side, it faced the holy place. It separates them. So far as our Lord was concerned, when He was in the flesh, He always see His Father. He always pleased His Father. But at the same time, because He is sinless perfect, He bars everybody else from seeing God. But now, His flesh was broken. And as flesh is broken, the way to the holiest is open. In other words, He has opened a new and living way for us. He is the way, and He has opened the way for us, calling us. How can we really see God face to face? How can we really allow Him to be our all and in all? How comes that all our service and ministry will be out of Him and not of ourselves? There is a way we have to go. And this is the way of the cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Brothers and sisters, there is no other way. As long as we depend upon ourselves, our own flesh, no matter how good it is, it put a distance between us and God. It has to be broken. As Paul said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Brothers and sisters, how much confidence do we have in our flesh? Remember, good flesh is as much rejected by God as bad flesh. Flesh is flesh. So anything that is of ourselves has to go through the cross. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him. Brothers and sisters, when the veil is taken away, then we can see him face to face. And we will be transformed from glory to glory as by the Lord, the Spirit. So in this chapter in 2 Corinthians 3, I believe that God has shown us very clearly that our ministry, our service, just as much as our life, our daily living, has to be of Christ and not of ourselves. I believe it is time for us to really go to the Lord and ask him to examine us, whether we really live by Christ, not by ourselves, or whether we minister by the Spirit of God and not by ourselves. So I think this is what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know. When we really see the difference between the old covenant ministry and the new covenant ministry, it will really stir us, stir our hearts, and cry to the Lord, Lord, deliver me from old covenant ministry. I do not want just to speak something correct, exact, true, but condemn and bring people to death. I would like to share something living and operative in our lives and really bring Christ into view, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection, and to be conformed to his death, that we may share in the out resurrection from among the dead. So may the Lord have mercy upon us.